You're listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast network.
You're listening to DolphinsTalk.com Daily, the most listened to daily Miami Dolphins podcast on the internet. Come on, Dolphins fans. Time to fins up.
Miami's got the Dolphins, the greatest football team. We take the ball from goal to goal like no one's ever seen. We're in the air.
Good afternoon, Miami Dolphins fans. How are you today? And thank you for listening to this breaking news audio here at DolphinsTalk.com. I am your host, Mike. And when I woke up on Tuesday, I wasn't expecting to do a breaking news audio show, but we have breaking news. And the breaking news is not that the Miami Dolphins cut Adam Butler for a failed physical on Tuesday, although that does kind of leave a void on their line that is now thin for depth without him there. That's not what this is about. The breaking news is not about Miami Dolphins starting quarterback Tua Tagovailoa getting married per reports within the past 2 weeks. Congratulations to the happy couple. That's not what this breaking news audio is about. This breaking news audio, unless you've been living under a rock the past, 12 hours or so, is about how the NFL brought the hammer down, brought the smackdown on the Miami Dolphins with the conclusion of their league investigation into the Brian Flores claims, as well as some tampering. Now, once again, if you've been living under a rock and you haven't heard, the Miami Dolphins were punished by the NFL. They lose a 2023 first-round draft pick. They had two to begin with. Now they have one. They lose a 2024 third-round draft pick. Stephen Ross is fined $1.5 million. He is banned from all everything associated with the team until October 17th. He's not allowed at the facility and all that good stuff. And he has been removed from all league committees. Bruce Beal Jr., the owner in waiting, the man who will eventually take over for Stephen Ross, was fined $500,000, and he is banned from all league meetings as well. Now, per Barry Jackson of the Miami Herald, both Ross and Beal can still attend games on Sunday, so they can't be at the league facility. They're banned in the case of Ross until the 17th. In the case of Beal, he can't attend any league meetings this year, but they can attend games on Sunday, so that's a little strange, but that's the rule. It was also discovered in this investigation that the Miami Dolphins did not tank games or try to lose on purpose in 2019. Let me repeat that. This is all to do with tampering. This has nothing to do with the Miami Dolphins trying to quote-unquote lose on purpose in 2019. Those claims by Brian Flores were unfounded. So this is all to do with tampering, Tom Brady, Sean Payton. That's where this punishment is coming from. There is no appeals process. This is final. There's no trying to get back your first round pick. Let's fight this in court. Let's file an appeal. This is final. And I guess to sum it up here, as Rich Eisen said today on his radio show, what were the Dolphins thinking? What were the Dolphins thinking? Because they are as guilty as sin, and they got caught. Now, before we dive into this some more and get into the nitty-gritty of all this, I want to give a big shout-out to everyone watching and listening at finheaven.com. Everyone go to finheaven.com, the largest Miami Dolphins message board on the internet. Also, if you are on Facebook, make sure you are a part of the I Am a Miami Dolphins Fan Facebook group, run by the great Carlos Hernandez. Check them out. You want to be part of that group. And also, if you're on YouTube, make sure you subscribe and smash that like button on all the videos on the Dolphins Talk YouTube channel. So go to the Dolphins Talk YouTube channel, smash a like button on the videos, subscribe, and hit the alert bell so when we go live, you can participate and be an active member of our show. So I don't like to do shows like this. I really don't. But owning this website where we cover this team 365 days a year, we got to cover the good and we got to cover the bad. And sometimes that means we have to cover uncomfortable subjects like this at times. And let me be clear right from the top before we dive in. I love this organization. We all love this organization. We are fans of the Miami Dolphins. You're not listening to a podcast like this if you are not a fan of the Dolphins. I love them. You love them. With that said, sometimes you have to say negative things about the team you love. And sometimes you have to say when your team did wrong, they did wrong, and they have to do better. That doesn't make me or anyone else not a fan to admit our favorite team screwed up. And right now, our favorite team screwed up. And as we get into the nitty-gritty of this, I am removing all emotion, okay? I am removing all emotion, and we're going to look at this logically and break it down with logic and reason. So right now, as I always say, we're not a Homer podcast. If you want a Homer view of this whole situation, where you think the NFL's rigged against the Dolphins, Brian Flores is, you know, a horrible person, and this is an overreaction to the Watson situation, and Roger Goodell has a grudge against Miami, and it's the media's fault. It's always the media's fault. If you got some Homer view like that, this probably isn't the podcast for you, and that's okay. And you should probably stop listening because you might get upset with some of the things I say. Because as I always say, we are not a Homer podcast. We give it to you very straight, very forward, very honest, with logic and reason. And we try to take the emotion out of it when we can. And that's what I'm going to do here. And I'm also not going to play a game of whataboutism, which is what I saw today on Twitter every which way till Sunday, where it was whataboutism. Well, how come we get, you know, our picks taken away, but what about the Browns, man? You only got six game Watson. Or what about the Patriots? They cheat too. They don't get penalized. Or what about all these other teams who tamper as well? What about, folks, let's deal with facts, and that we're only going to deal with facts. The Dolphins broke the rules. The Dolphins got caught. The Dolphins got punished. Period. End of story. If other teams are breaking the rules and they're not getting caught, tip your cap to them. They're one step ahead of the Dolphins. But Miami, at the end of the day, you cannot play a game of whataboutism. You cannot say, but what about them, and what about this, and what about that? The Miami Dolphins clearly broke the rules. The Miami Dolphins got caught. The Miami Dolphins got punished. That's what this story comes down to at the end of the day. That's the entire story. We can cry foul, say the punishment's too light, the punishment's too harsh. That's fine. The Dolphins still broke the rules. And when you break the rules, you're risking that you will get caught and you will get punished. So, look, I know as fans, you hate to see your team drag through the mud like this, but point the blame where it deserves to be pointed. This isn't Roger Goodell's fault. This isn't Brian Flores' fault. This isn't the fault of the media. This is the fault of an owner in waiting for screwing up. And they screwed up. And now they got to pay the piper. And it stinks as fans. It stinks to have to see your team go through this. So for those who might have missed it, I'm going to just go through real quick what the NFL said, essentially. Let's go through it here. The investigation conclusively established violations of the anti-tampering policy on three separate occasions. The Dolphins had impermissible communications with quarterback Tom Brady in 2019-2020 while he was under contract to the New England Patriots. These communications began as early as August 2019 and continued throughout the 2019 season and postseason. Pretty much they started in August. Excuse me for coughing. They started in August, and they were talking to Brady all season while he's playing games with the Patriots, including through the postseason. That's insane! Like, as Rich Eisen said, what were the Dolphins thinking? They had to know Tom Brady's under contract to another team in your division. You're talking to him in season? That's lunacy. These numerous and detailed discussions were conducted by Mr. Beal, who in turn kept Mr. Ross and the Miami Dolphins executives informed of his discussions with Tom Brady, which is what we've been saying for weeks when this topic has come up on our podcast. Bruce Beal Jr., BFFs with Tom Brady. Tom Brady's eventually coming to Miami in some capacity, and now it's out in the open. They got caught, and people spoke on the record. Bruce Beal Jr. is a big part of this, and we're going to get to him a little later on in the show because I got some thoughts on him. Number two, the Dolphins, again, had impermissible communications with both Mr. Brady and his agent during and after the 2021 season. Well, he was now under contract with Tampa Bay. Those talks began no later than early December 2021. That's just this past Christmas. Tampa Bay's still in the playoffs. They're still in the regular season. And focused on Mr. Brady becoming a limited partner in the Dolphins and possibly serving as a football executive. Although, at times, they also included the possibility of his playing for the Dolphins. Mr. Ross and Mr. Beal were active participants in this talk. Once again, Bruce Beal's 2 for 2 here with Brady, and Mr. Ross jumped in this time and was part of the conversation. Number 3, in January 2022, some 7 months ago, the Miami Dolphins had impermissible communications with Don Yee, the agent for Saints head coach Sean Payton, about having Mr. Payton serve as Miami's head coach. Miami did not seek consent from New Orleans to have these talks, which occurred before Payton announced his decision to retire. Sean Payton is still the head coach of the Saints. He hasn't retired. Here come the Dolphins. They're on the phone to his agent, Don Yee. They're talking. They're trying to make something happen. Following the announcement of Sean Payton's retirement, Miami formally then requested, too little too late, to talk to Payton for the first time. The Saints said no. Again, in this one, I've sort of mentioned a few times, there's that YouTube video, Sean Payton in March at a golf tournament. He's saying, yeah, I spoke to the Dolphins. Well, I didn't speak to them. Intermediaries did. That's a confession. That's Sean Payton saying, that's a confession, folks. He is saying, you know, without actually saying it, his people, hence his agent, spoke to the Dolphins. Well, he's under contract to the Saints. Even if he's retired or not, he's still under contract to the Saints. So this has been the worst kept secret out there. Again, what Rich Eisen said, what were the Dolphins thinking? The investigation found tampering violations of unprecedented scope and severity, Roger Goodell said. I know of no prior instance of a team violating on tampering with both a head coach and a star player to the potential detriment of multiple other clubs, talking about the Patriots, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and the Saints, over a period of several years. Similarly, I know of no prior instance in which ownership was so directly involved. Now, you might get some rogue scout. You might get the assistant GM doing this stuff. Miami doesn't have just one owner doing it. They got the owner in waiting pulling the strings as well. This is an utter disaster. So that's why when some, and there's been, you know, the feedback from, you know, the people on ESPN, NFL Network, Fox Sports, and even fans on, you know, social media outlets, some think the penalty's too harsh. And I think those are fans of the Miami Dolphins who live in a bubble. The vast majority of people from the network side and fans of other teams that aren't the Dolphins, they see this as the Dolphins got off kind of easy because they didn't just tamper once. They didn't just tamper twice. They tampered 3 times, and it is cut and dry, black and white. There's no, well, maybe they did, maybe they didn't, maybe it's out of context. No, the owners, 2, plural, were both involved. Only losing a first and a third, kind of getting off easy. I know fans of Dolphins don't want to hear that. They're not going to want to believe that. But they kind of got off a little easy. Now, when it comes to the Brian Flores claims, that's part 2 of the statement here from the league. Essentially, what the league found is the Dolphins did not intentionally lose games during the 2019 season, nor did anyone at the club, including Mr. Ross, instruct Coach Flores to do so. No witnesses contended otherwise. The Dolphins competed hard to win games, win every game, including at the end of the year when they beat Cincinnati and New England, despite worsening Miami's draft position in 2020. On a number of occasions during the 2019 season, Mr. Ross expressed his belief that the Dolphins' position in the upcoming 2020 draft should take priority over the team's win-loss record. And he's not wrong there. These comments were made most frequently to team president and CEO Tom Garfinkel and were also made to Chris Greer, the general manager, senior VP Brandon Shore, and head coach Brian Flores. These comments, which he took to be suggestions that they lose games, troubled Coach Flores, I love that from the league, troubled Coach Flores, great wording, led him to express his concerns in writing, those are those time-stamped memos he had as proof a few months back, to senior club executives, each of whom assured Coach Flores that everyone, including Mr. Ross, supported him in the building, supported a winning culture in Miami. After this, Mr. Ross, this is funny too, after this, Mr. Ross no longer made any such comments to Coach Flores. So he didn't make any comments when Brian Flores was around, but when he's in there with Tom, when he's in there with Chris Greer, when he's in there with Brandon Shore, Mr. Ross can speak freely. When Flores is around, zip it up. Don't talk about the tanking. One such comment is claimed where Mr. Ross offered to pay Coach Flores $100,000 to lose games, as to which there were differing recollections about the wording, timing, and context. However phrased, such a comment was not intended or taken to be as a serious offer, nor was the subject pursued in any respect by Mr. Ross or anyone else at the club. So pretty much saying everyone heard this a whole different way. There's no hard proof that it was a serious offer. And everyone that they spoke to remembers the situation differently. And then the league goes on about how every club is expected to make a good faith effort to win games, and it's a whole paragraph. I'll skip over that. So the punishment, the Miami Dolphins will forfeit the club's first round selection in 2023, third round in 2024. Mr. Ross and everyone over the penalties there. Then the Miami Dolphins put out a statement. Let me see. The Miami Dolphins said, from Mr. Stephen Ross, I should say. It's not from the Dolphins. It's from Mr. Ross himself. The independent investigation cleared our organization on any issues related to tanking and all of Brian Flores' other allegations. Pretty much saying, you got me on tampering, but a big middle finger to Brian Flores. Everything you said was false. That's what that first sentence says. As I've said all along, these allegations were false, malicious, and defamatory, and the issue is now put to rest. He's right about that. With regards to tampering, I strongly disagree with the conclusions in the punishment. I don't know how you can. You were caught red-handed. However, I will accept the outcome because the most important thing is that there are no distractions for our team as we begin an exciting and winning season. I will not allow anything to get in the way of that. Okay, Mr. Ross pretty much gave a middle finger to Flores in that statement, claimed I'm innocent, as every guilty man does, and said, let's just play football. Nothing wrong there. Brian Flores released a statement. I didn't want to read it. I'm no big Brian Flores fan. I'm not. And I know, I will say this. He comes out vindicated in this. Totally vindicated. As much as I don't like the guy, he comes out vindicated. And I know if you're a fan of the Dolphins, you're going to say, screw Flores. I get it, screw him too, but he's vindicated. Brian Flores pretty much said, I am thankful for the NFL's investigation. For the NFL's investigator found my factual allegations against Stephen Ross are true. Well, not really. At the same time, I am disappointed to learn that the investigator minimized Mr. Ross's offers and pressure to tank games. When I wrote and submitted a letter at the time to Dolphins executives, Brian Flores is still crying foul. Well, he can cry that walk-in because nobody wants to hear it right now. Nobody wants to hear it. So that's the big news. Here's my big takeaways. There's a few things here. Number one. The Miami Dolphins clearly wanted Tom Brady. They clearly wanted Sean Payton. All those reports that were out there, specifically from this season, when Tom Brady's with Tampa and Sean Payton was with the Saints, the past 6, 7, 8, 9 months, were true. Mike Florio was 100% correct. Ben Volland was 100% correct. Chris Sims was 100% correct. Those are the big ones. There are some other reporters who had this as well. They were all 100% correct. So if you're one of those fans of the Dolphins, who every time you saw this story back in March or April, clickbait, 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 this is all false, all made up, clickbait, 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 you're wrong. It wasn't clickbait. They were 100% correct from the beginning. You were wrong. And if you had any integrity, you would tweet these people because you made their life hell and you said it was clickbait and they're making it up and they're terrible at their job. And some of you went further and wished these people harm. You should tweet them, email them, Instagram them, however you talk to these people, and apologize. Because they were right all along. Their reporting was 100% right. And for those fans who went over and above, yelling clickbait every 2 seconds, and this is all false, and everyone hates the Dolphins, why are you picking on my team? No, this happened. This is reality. The Dolphins wanted Tom Brady. The Dolphins wanted Sean Payton. And they tampered. And those reporters did their job. Did it well, and they got it right. That's number one. Number two, Mr. Ross and the Dolphins did not tank in 2019, but joking, and that's what it sounds like what he was doing, joking about tanking, honestly, is kind of just as bad as tanking. Because you had someone in the building who didn't understand the joke. And Stephen Ross played a stupid game, and he won a stupid prize. Now he's suspended, and he lost, and he cost his team a first-round draft pick. That's the long and short of this. You cannot joke about tanking in any which way. And if you do, keep the thoughts to yourself inside your own pea brain. You can't do that at all. I mean, it's just mind-boggling that he was so flippant and open and honest talking about this stuff. It's like, shut the heck up. You don't know how any of these people are going to sort of hear that and what they might do down the road. That's number two. And I also think the penalty is fair. At first, I thought it was a little too harsh, and I put out that tweet earlier on Tuesday. At the end of the day, I think it's fair. For the large majority of fans of the NFL and people in the media who think it's light, I think you're probably... I would tend to disagree with that, only because I think a first-round pick is significant. Now, the Patriots, here's why. They lost a first and a third. I don't care about the money, the fines, and the suspensions. Money to those people means nothing. If, you know, Bruce Beal Jr. is not even an owner. If he can't go to a league meeting, who the hell cares? Mr. Ross, he'll be back by mid-October. That's going to fly by. Who cares? It'll be fine. A first-round pick. Here's why. The New England Patriots lost a first-round pick for deflated footballs. Okay, in the big picture, as much as we hate the Patriots, that was footballs who had a PSI of air volume, like 0.2 under something. It was nothing. Now, we all loved and laughed at the Patriots when they got punished because it's fun to see the Patriots get punished. I get it. But a first-round pick for that was kind of harsh. But we all laughed and said, great, it's good. This is way beyond deflated footballs by a couple percentage points here. This is, you know, tampering with other players and coaches, not to mention a Hall of Fame quarterback and most likely a Hall of Fame head coach, to get them to your team when they're in a contract. This is way more serious. So I think a first and a third for this is fair. I think if you want it to be a slap on the wrist or nothing, that's, you know, you as a fan of the Dolphins wearing Homer glasses, thinking your team can never do no wrong. If you want to be more, I mean, I don't know how much more you want. You want to take them of all their draft picks? I mean, what more of a penalty do you want? I think that's probably overboard the other way. So I think the punishment is fair. Next thing I want to say is Chris Greer. I put this all at his feet. I mean, Chris Greer, we can talk about Ross. We can talk about Bruce Beal. You can talk about Flores. You can talk about the league, the investigator, Roger Goodell. This is all the blood for this is on Chris Greer's hands. You are hiring a head coach going into the 2019 season. You knew the plan was to strip this team down, trade away all of its assets, get as many draft picks as possible, clear out as much cap space as possible. We're going to put a non-competitive team on the field because we want to strip this down, take all the big cap hits, stockpile as many picks as we can. So when we go into the 2020 draft and the 2020 offseason, we got a ton of money to spend, we got a ton of draft picks, and we're going to, you know, try to build this the right way. That's your plan. Why the bleep, and I'm not going to swear, why the bleep would you hire a head coach who's not on board with the plan? Brian Flores clearly was never on board with the plan, to the point he was offended when people in the room were talking about, I call it the plan, hence to tank, because you're trying to get as high a draft pick as possible to get your franchise quarterback, and you're trying to build it that way, which I don't have a problem with. You can strip a team down to nothing and try to start over like an expansion team, which is what the Miami Dolphins do, which is what a lot of teams in the NFL now do. And I think it's a smart way for some teams to do it. But if you're the general manager, you and the head coach you hire have to be on the same page. The first thing of the interview should have been, here's our vision, here's our plan, are you on board? Because if you would have said that to Brian Flores, clearly his answer would have been, nope, not doing it. And then you go on to hire someone else. So Chris Greer, to me, I know fans love the offseason he had this past year. And I like the moves he made too. I like The Hill, like Armstead, Cedric Wilson, all that. I like that too. But as I've always said, Chris Greer has been in Miami in some capacity for 22 stinking years. And in 22 years, Chris Greer has woken up out of bed. His feet have hit the floor. And only twice in 22 years has said, Miami Dolphins playoff game today. Now, I know he hasn't been the GM the whole time, but he's been part of this team in some capacity. And in 22 years, only 2 days of that time, has he woken up and said, Miami Dolphins playoff game today. And, oh, FYI, those 2 times they lost. So, it's like, who cares? Chris Greer, to me, is the real culprit here. I'm going to get to him a little later on, too. Bruce Beal Jr., here's what I'm going to say. And if you're fans of the Dolphins who might not, you know, Bruce Beal Jr. has been lurking in the backgrounds. We know, or some of you might know the story how Mr. Ross, you know, a few years back said, when I die or when I want to sell this team, I want to go to a friend. Bruce Beal Jr. is also a New York City real estate guy, just like Ross. His family and Bruce Beal's family are very, very close. Everyone who sort of knows this group of people says Mr. Ross looks at Bruce Beal Jr. like a son. They are that close. So it's like Mr. Ross selling the team to his son, essentially. And Bruce Beal Jr. has been lurking in the background. If every time, every week you see a Dolphins game, when they shoot to the owner's box on Fox or CBS, you see Mr. Ross, the little guy sitting next to him is Bruce Beal Jr. Okay? That's your next owner. And to me, outside of Greer with the coach, Bruce Beal Jr. is the most responsible here. He really screwed this up. Sorry, trying not to swear. He screwed this up to the point where if you're a fan of the Dolphins, like I am, we all need to be really, really, really nervous now for when he takes over this team and gets full control. Because this guy, on 2 separate occasions, with his little BFF Tom Brady, just blatantly broke the rules. He either was naive enough and he didn't know, which I don't believe, or he just didn't bleepin' care. And this guy's going to get the keys to the kingdom of this organization. And, you know, he might be worse than Snyder. He might be worse than... There's some bad owners in this league. This guy's not even in power yet. He's already screwed up. The fact that he's going to get the keys to the castle soon, too. Mr. Ross ain't getting any younger. He's going to get it soon. Scares the holy hell out of me. Because teams with bad owners really don't win that much. And it's almost impossible. I mean, they sort of have to fall into it. And I have zero, let me say this again, zero faith in Bruce Beal Jr. Now, I have almost no faith in Ross. I have less in Bruce Beal Jr. After today, I kind of wish the NFL would kick him out of the league and say, Mr. Ross, sorry, we're not going to let you sell the team to him. Because this is a joke. Okay? This guy's not even a power yet, and he screwed up royally like this. Worst tampering violation in the history of the league, per Roger Goodell. And he's right. He's right. That's all at the feet of Bruce Beal Jr. So, in the end, again, I know, look, I don't like Brian Flores. I never loved him as a head coach. I thought he was, you know, he won games. I never loved him. But everything, you know, most of the stuff he said, well, let me clarify it this way. The tampering stuff around him, when he's saying he was fired, not because of wins and losses and some other stuff, that's kind of proven true. Not totally kind of, because Miami clearly wanted Sean Payton and clearly wanted Tom Brady, and Flores was in the way, so they had to get rid of him. Now, stuff about them tanking games, I never thought that was true for a second, so Flores has sort of got some egg on his face there, but Flores is gone. He's going to get another head coaching job. That is what it is. For people who say this is, you know, the NFL's payback for the Watson verdict, number one, the NFL has already appealed the Watson verdict. The Watson thing of 6 games is going to change because Roger can do anything he wants. Roger Goodell didn't, you know, he could have took what the judge said of 6 games and said, okay, thank you, he's getting 12. He's getting 16. He didn't want that, though. Roger Goodell wanted this Watson verdict and this whole situation with Watson to be, I'm not getting my hands dirty, in that 2 grand juries, 2 in Texas, did not bring criminal charges against Watson. And now you got a judge who only wants to give him 6 games. Roger Goodell did not want to be the guy to sort of jump in here because he has the power, again, per the CBA, collective bargaining agreement. Roger Goodell does not have to listen to that judge. Roger Goodell could have suspended him at any time the past 2 years for any amount of games he wanted to. And he still can tomorrow. He can jump in and say, you're getting 16 games, you're getting 10 games, 8 games, 12 games, and he might. So anyone saying this is payback for the Watson verdict, no, it's not. One has nothing to do with the other. It's odd that they came on back-to-back days. One of them is a verdict against a player. One's a verdict against the owner, which is what Watson and his team have been clamoring about, saying, if you make us appeal, we're going to bring in the fact that you've never punished, that you've never punished Robert Kraft, you've never punished Daniel Snyder, you've never punished Jerry Jones when they've done unsavory things, and now you can only punish the players. Well, now the league can say, well, we punished Mr. Ross severely. We took away a first-round pick. So it's not payback for the Watson verdict, but I do think it's more than a coincidence that this was released on this day. The other thing I want to say is, for people saying, and here's where some fans really got to stop with this too, saying, Calvin Ridley only got, you know, he got a year, and Watson only got six games, but Miami has to lose a first-round pick, so Ridley, you know, the league cares more about gambling than it does Watson being a sex offender. Stop, for the love of God, stop with that. Because once again, this is all collectively bargained stuff in the CBA. Now, you might not like the CBA, but take that up with the NFL's players union because they agreed to this horse crap, okay? Ridley's punishment is gambling. That comes down to integrity of the game. Tampering comes down to integrity of the game. So in the CBA, those two have their own special sections in the CBA of how when violations are made here, they're dealt with this way. The Watson case is sexual assault, alleged, because there's no criminal charges. I know everyone thinks he did it, but rule of law, he was never filed criminally. Doesn't make him innocent, but those types of violations and charges are looked at a different way. So the CBA is cut and dry on this stuff. You can't throw everything into a kitchen sink and say that it all should be judged the same. Now, you might want it to be judged the same, but again, the NFLPA agrees to this stuff. The union agrees to this in the CBA, and each situation is being handled the correct way. And I know the punishments look out of whack, but that's how this league works, okay? And we can agree or we cannot agree, but that's how this league works. Before I get to my closing statements real quick, everyone go to manscaped.com, use a promo code DolphinsTalk, save 20%, get free shipping, great product, shampoo, body wash, lip balm, boxers, cologne, body spray, everything you want, manscaped.com. Why pay full price? Why drive and use your gas money to go to the market when you go to Manscaped, get everything sent to your house for free, and you save 20%. Manscaped.com, promo code DolphinsTalk. So I guess in closing, I'll say this. First-round pick Miami lost. With the way Miami is drafted in recent years, I don't know if it's that much of a loss. You look at that 2017 draft, the entire draft is either gone or out of the league. 2018, you got Minka Fitzpatrick, kept him for a year, traded him. He's an all-pro player. Traded picks for Josh Rosen, and you know he was here for, what, 10 minutes? The way Miami has screwed up picks, you know, Noah Igbinoghene stinks. Austin Jackson stinks. First round picks gone. You know, Tua over Herbert was a mistake. The way Miami has mismanaged first round picks. And I know they took Mike Gesicki. And I know they took Javon Holland. And I know they took Jalen Phillips. And they took Waddle. I get all that. But they blow more picks than they hit on. And this past year with the Hill trade, everyone was just saying, F them picks, F them picks. Well, okay, F them picks. It's one more pick you can say F to. Yes, it stinks losing a first-round pick, but the fact that Miami still has a first-round pick next year, this doesn't sting as much. And I know everyone's worry and everyone's concern, and we went this far without really talking about them. If Tua stinks this year, what does Miami do? Well, you still got a pick in round one, and you still got future picks you can trade to move up, if you want one in their draft, which I don't even think they do. I think if let me start by this. I don't think he's going to stink this year. I think Tua's going to be fine. But let's just play along and say if he stinks, and they have to move on from him. Number one, this is a playoff-ready team. You got guys like Hill, Waddle, Armstead. They're not going to wait for some rookie for 2 or 3 years from now to be good. They're going to want a veteran, so I don't think they're even going to take a quarterback in round one. I think their picks would be packaged for a veteran quarterback. Who that guy is, I have no earthly idea. But I think that's what they were looking at anyways. But I think Tua's going to be good. And if he's not, just remember this. Tom Brady will be 46 if he wants to play. Next year, he's an unrestricted free agent. No tampering involved. Bruce Beal Jr., go get your BFF. You can just sign him as a free agent. And that would bring this story full circle. If Tom Brady is the quarterback signed as a free agent when no tampering was needed, that would bring this story full circle. What I don't like about this story is I understand why the Miami Dolphins are punished. I think it's fair. They clearly tampered. But you know what? Tom Brady and Sean Payton's agent, they should get punished too. They knew their guy was under contract. They took these meetings. They should get punished too. Again, the CBA is flawed. And this is one of the ways I think that's a loophole that needs to be fixed too. In, you know, 8 or 9 years when it's up again, the CBA. The NFLPA should say, you know what? It would actually be the NFL would say, if we're going to punish our owners for tampering, your players who took these meetings should also get punished too. Because that's not fair. They took those meetings knowing full well they were under contract. And for them just to be able to walk away, I don't like that. This is not the first time that the Miami Dolphins have lost a first-round pick for tampering. Go way back to 1970 when the Miami Dolphins signed Don Shula. It was tampering with the Colts. It lost a first-round pick. Now, there's a lot. I won't go into the whole story because I know it'll put people to sleep. There's a lot of shades of gray around that from the AFL to the NFL. People said once the signing happened before the merger, so technically it wasn't tampering. It's like taking someone from Apple to Samsung. It's not taking someone from Apple to Apple. It's like a whole thing. So, but this is not the first time that the Miami Dolphins have lost a first-round pick for tampering. You go way back to Don Shula. It happened then. I also don't think this affects anything on the field, per se, with the players. These players who are showing up at camp every day, working their ass off to make this team and to win games this year, don't care about any of this stuff. They don't care if the owner's in the box, as long as the checks come every 2 weeks. They don't care about first-round picks. Not their problem. They already have a job in this league. So I don't think there's going to be a big distraction here. I think it's a 24-hour news cycle, maybe 48-hour news cycle. It's a big story for 28 hours, for 48 hours. If you're Waddle or Mike Gesicki or Armstead or anyone else, you don't care about this story. It has no effect on you. So I don't think it'll affect anything on the field. This really, it upsets fans because, you know, fans don't like losing a first-round pick. General manager, he's not going to like that either. The only thing I will say, though, with this story, I would love to be a fly on the wall tonight at the house of Mike McDaniel and at the house of Tua when they're sitting down to have the supper with their lovely wives. What are they saying amongst themselves and their family? Because now it's out in the open. Mike McDaniel, you were plan B. We wanted Sean Payton first. Tua, we tried to replace you with Watson. Then we tried to replace you with Brady. We can say all the right things. Actions speak louder than words. You are plan C. It's out there in the open. It's exposed. You might have heard, you know, I'm sure they've heard rumblings about this stuff, but now it's like official. Love to be a fly in the wall. What do you think their loyalty is long-term in Miami to this owner, to the next owner, who pretty much did everything in their power to not have them in the positions they're in? Just interesting dynamic right there. Interesting in many ways. And with Tua, I think he's in for a big season. Now, when I say he's in for a big season, I'm not saying he's going to win MVP. I'm not saying he's taking Miami to the playoffs. I think the Tua we see in year three is going to be substantially better than the Tua we see in year two, or that we saw in year two. I think Tua going to throw for like 3,500, 3,700 yards, probably get about 26, 27 touchdowns. I think they're going to win their games. I think they're going to win anywhere between 9 and 11 games. I don't see them winning like 12 or 13. I think they'll win between 9 and 11 games. And I think Tua, after this year, will put to bed if he's the long-term answer for the offensive quarterback. Now, that doesn't mean Miami's going to pick up the fifth-year option, per se. That doesn't mean that they're going to rush and sign him to an extension before his 5 years are up. But I think he'll put to bed this year any doubt about who's the starting quarterback in 2023 and who's the starting quarterback in 2024. I think Tua is going to have a big year, and I think he's going to silence a lot of people that he'll be the guy moving forward. And I think that does ease a little bit of losing a first-round pick, because if you're stable at quarterback and you have a head coach you like, yeah, it sucks to lose a first-round pick, but it does. It's okay because you still have one and you don't have a needed quarterback. So I think if Tua plays well, Dolphins fans, it stings now. It's going to sting a little bit in April, but at least if Tua plays well, their pain won't be too bad because you know you got your guy at quarterback, and I think they got their guy at quarterback. We'll see. And last thing I'll say about Mr. Ross and now his legacy in Miami after this, his legacy is forever tarnished. There's no, I mean, short of winning a Super Bowl on his watch, this is bad. And I know he's done a lot of good. He's done a lot of good with Rise. He's done a lot of good with the Dolphins Challenge Cancer. He's done a lot of good with Hard Rock Stadium and using his own money to sort of build that up and bring F1 down there, bring tennis down there. He's done a lot of good in the community and all that stuff. But from a football perspective, you know, you factor in the Jim Harbaugh mess when he first came here. You had an assistant coach. You know, he was doing drugs at the office. You factor in everything that went down with Flores. He's had two league investigations on his watch. He's now suspended. Cost his team a draft pick. The next owner that he has sort of handpicked is a disaster already. And he's not even in power. Mr. Ross's legacy, unfortunately, isn't going to be looked upon very good. Now, prior to today, it was already not looked upon very good, but you could at least say, you know, he's done a lot of good in the community and with other stuff. So, yeah, they haven't won, but it's not for lack of trying, and he's done some good. This right here is like taking a stick of dynamite and blowing up everything. This is what he's going to be remembered for. This day on August 2nd, 2022 is probably one of the three largest days in the history of this organization, because this is not a good day, folks. Okay, it's not a good day. This level of tampering is as bad as it gets, and it's on his watch. He was involved, and this is all due to him. So, he's our owner. What are you going to do? You can't fire the owner, unfortunately, and he wasn't forced here to sell the team or lose the team. They didn't go down that avenue, nor should they have. But Ross's legacy is not good. So, is what it is. I don't think we'll have any more news on this because, again, there's no appeal process. It is what it is. And from the statement that Mr. Ross put out, he accepts this. He doesn't like it, but he accepts it. So, that's that. Hopefully, starting tomorrow, we can get back to talking about more on-the-field stuff about the Dolphins. That's what we want to talk about. We don't want to talk about this stuff. But when news breaks, we have to talk about it, folks. That's what our website does. And this is as big a story in the history of this organization. And that is not overplaying it. This is the biggest story in the history of this organization as there is. And we had to talk about it today and sort of break it down for you and cover this. So it sucks, but that's what it is. On the field from camp today was the first day with pads. Nothing really that notable. I mean, as I said, Adam Butler's cut. I think Miami probably would like to see another lineman now in because losing him, he was a very good player. Unheralded, but very good. Losing him stings. And Preston Williams, I have no idea what this clown's talking about. This guy's crying about not getting enough opportunity. Guy gets hurt every year. Gets hurt every year. And he's crying about not having enough of an opportunity. How about you stay healthy and on the field? Okay? Take care of your body a little bit. I know players get injured, and sometimes it's out of your control. I get that. But this guy's hurt all the time. And now he's crying about how he's not getting enough balls thrown his way in practice. You know, pipe down. Nobody wants to hear it. Really, nobody wants to hear it from you. But so if it were me, if he doesn't want to be here, just cut him. I mean, I'm sure some team might give up a seventh for him. You're not getting anything more than a seventh because there's a million Preston Williams there, either on the open market or who will be cut here in a month. Who's going to trade for this guy? But if someone wants to trade for him, just get rid of him. Don't need him. Don't need him around. If he don't want to be here and if he's that unhappy, you know, go pound salt. Honestly, you're Preston Williams here, okay? You're not Jerry Rice. You're Preston Williams. Go. So that's pretty much it. No real big news with pads on, although everything was overshadowed by this today. I will say this, though. Once again, with pads on, Tua looked sharp today. From everyone on site, Tua had another big practice. Now, I know it doesn't matter because it's practice. It's just practice. We're talking about practice. But I'd rather have him play good in practice than play bad. So another solid day from Tua. He was throwing some very good passes out there. Of course, he had some mistakes. When you throw that many passes in a practice, you're going to have some mistakes. But the good far outweighed the bad. Far outweighed the bad. So that's a good sign there. And, you know, next week, Dolphins-Tampa Bay, Dolphins-Tom Brady, joint practices in a preseason game. Awkward! So that ought to be fun to follow next week. So thank you, everyone, for listening. Be sure to check out the website, DolphinsTalk.com. If you want to know what was said on ESPN, Fox Sports, NBC Sports, CBS, CNN, we got it all up on our website. We got the videos. We got all the stuff from all the talking heads. If you just want to get that general feel, what everyone's saying about this, you know, some people are saying, you know, it's too harsh of a punishment. Some are saying too light. You want to get a wide range of opinions, go to DolphinsTalk.com, watch the videos here, all the thoughts. We also got some new articles up as well at the website, and I should be announcing, hopefully next week, the winners of the military contest. Keep an eye out for that. And also be sure to follow me on Twitter at Dolphins Talk. Anytime Dolphins news breaks, the first place we'll get it is at DolphinsTalk.com. Everyone have a great Tuesday. Hope you enjoy the rest of your week. I'll be back with Big E later this week for our show. And we're going to talk more on the field stuff. We're not going to beat this dead horse. This is probably a one-show deal. But we'll talk more about on the field stuff later in the week when I get with Ian and some others. Everyone have a great night. And don't forget, folks, let's put an end to highway profanity.
Thank you for listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast. Be sure to visit DolphinsTalk.com every day for all of your latest Miami Dolphins news.